Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Fidel. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Thank you very much, Audrey. Mike just asked me if I'm excited about the show tonight, and you know I am, because we've discovered something way back in the archives of radio and criminal justice that I knew nothing about, that folks are going to get a kick out of this, and I'll hold off just a couple of minutes before I explain this. Thank you very much, Audrey, for getting us connected to the show again, and we're working real good with that brand new studio setup that they've got on our screen, and it's almost flawless. I think we messed up a couple times. It wasn't Blog Talk Radio's fault. But welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Network and the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm your host, Keith Haley, and we thank Johnny Cash, as we do every week, as he takes us on that trip across the United States to 90 cities and states. And yes, he sings that song from memory. Emily, Mike, thank you much for joining us. I guess, Audrey, we can tell the folks now that we know when Lucy's coming, don't we? Lucy, Audrey's lifetime friend, childhood friend, will be joining our staff next week. And Mike, I think we're in trouble, right? We're now a minority. We were 50-50 women, men. Now we'll have three women on the show, but Lucy's going to help us with a lot of the news business and maybe even discuss some of the news for us. So we're really looking forward to that, and I hope she has a wonderful and safe trip across the big pond, and she'll be joining us soon. The purpose of this show is to discuss issues and news and events and developments as they are in this always difficult and sometimes humorous practice of criminal justice. And it's humorous and it's sad, and we'll talk about a couple death penalty cases tonight in the news. Last night, two people were executed in the United States, two that I know of. There may have been more, but these are two rather celebrated cases, and we'll look at a little bit at the facts about those if you haven't heard it on regular media. We'll try to bring you something more than they bring you, but who knows. This show is dedicated to those people who work in corrections and juvenile justice and policing at all levels of government and service throughout the world. Our little theme line here is that we try to take a close-up look at criminal justice practice and its professionals. And you're listening on Blog Talk Radio. Somebody asked me today about it. They wanted to get a show. I told them I think it takes about 60 seconds to sign up, and you can be broadcasting in no time worldwide on the Internet to an unlimited number of listeners, and it costs you absolutely nothing. How in the world can anybody pass up an opportunity like that? I just glanced over some of the shows tonight. My gosh, I really need to do that. Audrey, make me do that, will you? To take a look at all the shows. I can't imagine how many there are now. Somewhere on some of the pages on Blog Talk Radio Network, it probably says that. But you can do that. You can get your own show. I was talking to folks today about college radio stations. You know, they've kind of been going out of business, I guess, for a long time. I've mentioned this before. And I talk to people, they never even heard of Blog Talk Radio. You're talking about a thing where you got all kinds of celebrities and politicians and all these folks, they have their own show. Then insignificance like me, I've got mine. I mean, you know, you can have one too, and you could become a star on Blog Talk Radio Network. So I don't know why people don't jump on the opportunity. I guess a lot of them don't know about it, or they don't understand it. If you want to call in during the news segment of the show, you can do that. It's 347-996-5983, 347-996-5983. I better check up on this in case somebody ever wants to do it. But you can actually, I think there are toll-free numbers now that you can call, so you don't even have to call a long-distance type of number. Well, Audrey, I think you've got a Bond joke for us tonight, right? I haven't heard this one before. Mike, you have? I haven't. I have not heard this one before. So let's go ahead with Audrey's blonde joke. And just keep in mind, Audrey is a blonde. She grew up in London, England as a blonde, and she's been collecting blonde jokes for a couple decades. We can say that, right, Audrey? Okay, a couple of decades. And here's your joke for tonight.
Professor Haley, our blonde joke for tonight may be a little crude, but I think most listeners will enjoy it. Here it is. A redhead walks into a salon, and the hairstylist says, "Your hair is gorgeous." And the redhead runs her hand through her hair, and says, "It's natural." Then a brunette walks in, and the stylist says, "I love your hair." And the brunette runs her hand through her hair, and says, "It's natural." Then a blonde with green streaks walks in, and the stylist says, "That's different." Quote, the blonde sneezes, wipes it on her hand, and runs her hand through her hair, and says, "It's natural."
Oh, my. Oh, that's how that hair became green. Okay, well, thank you very much, Audrey. I don't think people want you to replay that one much, but thanks. Thanks anyway. But ladies and gentlemen, on a much more serious note, as we approach the autumn season, and it's a better time now for our criminals to get out on the street and rob people. Some of them carry guns. We're asking, the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Coalition is asking that, what is the name of that outfit? Ohio Coalition Against Firearms, not guns. That's another one that's against guns. This is against firearms. I think they mean the same thing. But anyway, they have a public service announcement where they want people to hear this announcement, take their guns and get out and turn them in. And you know, you can turn them in. Criminals can walk down to these little gun turn-in, buyback kind of things, no questions asked. At least that's what they say. And you can sell your guns, but a lot of criminals don't want to give them up at this point. But here's their message, and it's a very serious message.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Well, it certainly is. And thank you very much, Ohio Coalition, for that that fine statement, which we love playing every week. And I'm sure there are respondents that hear the message that we play, and they turn in their guns and end their life of violence. If it were only that easy. It probably isn't. Okay, we have a green tip, and this tip, again, comes from Esma Floyd. I was going to ask you, Mike, did I do the one about the prison treadmill? Was that last week? I better not say anything about it until I check and see whether we did it or not. But anyway, this is number 957 in Esma Floyd's little book called 1001 Little Ways to Save the Planet. And this one is so common sense, why don't we do it? We can be sustaining all sorts of things if we do it. Turn it off is what the title of this one is. Don't leave the faucet running while brushing your teeth or shaving. Get into the habit of turning it off unless you're actually using the water. Now, isn't that something? I'll bet people are just, they can't believe this. It's a tip that they've never heard and never thought of. Well, again, criminal justice has led the way on this because many prisons in the United States, the showers, for example, have timers on them. You can't go as an inmate. And some it's like three. I won't tell who this was, but I went on a tour of a new prison once with some folks, and a warden from an older prison in the same area, and he had been a warden for a long time. He went in, and as we were going through the tour, and they were explaining some things in the shower room and the living quarters for the inmates, and they were saying that the inmates could let their showers run as long as they wanted to. And he said he could not believe that, because in his prison they could only get like 2 minutes, two, maybe three. I think it was 2 minutes, actually, in that prison. But there you are. Turn off the water, and we'll all be better for it. So there are so many ways to save the planet. If we would just do 10 of them, we would save it. Al Gore would be so pleased also. I mean, he's the leader of all this. Remember him, the guy that discovered the Internet. Okay, let's go ahead and take a look at some of the criminal justice news. I'm going to move over here to another spot and get out my Evernote notes, and we'll take a look at some of these news stories. Did you hear the one, I won't even go into details about that, but did you hear the one about the guy that drove through the Taco Bell, I think it was out in Kansas or somewhere, and he got his stuff, and when he got away from the place, he stopped and looked in the bag, and he was missing his hot sauce. And so what he did, he came back with a shotgun and stuck it in the drive-thru window at the clerk, who, of course, took off. And I guess the moral of that story is maybe take a picture of this guy so that if he comes back again, you want to make sure he gets his hot sauce and maybe a triple order of it so he doesn't come back with a shotgun. This is one that was kind of sick. A Virginia man says his daughter used the bathroom at a Starbucks. This wasn't last week. It was dated 9/20. Starbucks in Penn Quarter, she discovered a hidden camera pointed at the toilet. Can you believe that? Washington City Papers' Lydia DeFillis first reported the civil suit filed by Norfolk resident William Yockey. Never heard of that name, Y-O-C-K-E-Y, Yockey, against Starbucks Coffee at 7th Street Northwest. Blocks or 7th Street Northwest, and it doesn't say, it says blocks from them. That's an actual misprint there. But Yockey told news he was sightseeing with his family on April 23rd when they stopped in a Starbucks coffee shop. Yockey said that one of the two unisex bathrooms was closed, so he used the other unisex bathroom. His daughter also used the same bathroom. While washing her hands, Yockey said his daughter turned to him and said, "Daddy, there's a camera." According to court documents, the camera was a small Kobe brand digital video camera planted in the U-shaped drain pipe. The lens of the digital camera was pointed towards the toilet. Can you believe something like that goes on? Now, Starbucks says they're investigating this. They don't know how this happened. They're sorry about that. And according to documents, the D.C. police arrived. The bathroom was roped off, and the camera was taken as evidence in a criminal investigation. He's suing for $1 million. I don't know what a fair price for that, but you imagine that your five-year-old daughter goes in a place like, these cameras are all over the place. People know how to know about them two-way mirrors, right? If you put your finger out to your mirror and you can't touch your finger, it's like in another location, that means that somebody on the other side can look in and see you. So be careful about mirrors. So anyway, that was kind of interesting. We had a couple of taser incidents here that were really, really bad here. I got one of them. One of them was out in, where the heck did that go? Out in San Mateo? Where was it? It wasn't San Francisco. Oh, yeah, Santa Ana. Listen to this one, if you can believe it. The police officer has been charged with murder in the death of this mentally ill guy in Southern California. He was beaten and repeatedly shot with a stun gun during his arrest. The lawyer, John Bennett, said his client, Fullerton police officer Manuel Ramos, surrendered to authorities and was being charged with second-degree murder. Five cops were suspended after beating mentally disabled homeless man to death. Six officers were placed on paid administrative leave. Tom, what in the world would cops be involved in something? I mean, I wasn't there, but it's incredible. And the use of this taser, I mean, what is it with some of these officer? It's a fine, wonderful device. But you know, you see stories about this all the time. I remember one where, a woman was in her car and she called her husband when she got stopped for a traffic violation, and she didn't drop the phone right away when he said, so she, the state police officer tased her. I mean, how silly is that? There's other ways. You know, your best weapon in police work is your talking, you know, your conversation ability. So tasers are a wonderful device. Sometimes all you got to do is take it out and turn on. They see the little light and they stop whatever they're doing. But that's a weird one. We got another case also, Michigan taser death. This is a Warren man's death remained sketchy Monday, but they said the use of a taser on this 27-year-old has reignited controversy over the stun gun. Finette Hawkins, 32, of Warren, says she was told by Warren police that her son Richard Coquinos tried to break into a house late Friday, and a taser was used on him. He died early Saturday, she said. The Oakland County Medical Examiner's Office performed an autopsy, but the cause and the manner of his death, they're still pending test results. They have to get those things back. But, you know, in Michigan, by the way, as a private citizen, you're not allowed to own a taser. It's a felony. Ohio has no regulations or laws about the taser whatsoever, which I probably think is the case nationwide. I actually haven't looked, but I'm sure Taser has that on their site. But anyway, they've researched this thing backwards and forward. It can be misused as like a nightstick, a firearm, handcuffs, all kinds of things. But it seems to be a great device. The British police bought it lock, stock, and barrel after studying it for two or three years. And, of course, the British police, most of them are not armed. But Amnesty International has been on Taser for a long time. They want to see the use of Taser stop. They attributed, I think they're saying there's up to, don't quote me on this, almost 100 deaths or more attributable to the Taser, but it's not directly attributable to the Taser. These people have other kind of diseases, drug problems, heart, et cetera. So, you know, you shouldn't put a Taser on them, but, of course, you can't. You can't tell. They don't wear signs that say that. Police officers have used stun guns when they shouldn't have, but other times tasers are used instead of deadly force, which is a good thing, says Jeffrey Alpert. But that's not what they're for, Jeffrey Alpert. He's a professor of criminology. I know who that is, at the University of South Carolina. They're not a replacement for deadly force. They're for less than deadly force. I mean, never bring a taser to a gunfight. You always lose, right? I think. But anyway, he goes on and on about all the different kinds of situations that have been studied with the taser and use of force, that type of thing. Nothing ever comes out quite right in policing when you got somebody struggling with you on the street. But the taser beats dragging somebody up and down the sidewalk and you rolling around on the ground and that type of thing. okay, I thought there was I don't know much about this, but OnStar. This is what? Does that come with General Motors cars? Mike, you know? I'm not sure. But anyway, you got this OnStar thing in your car where they can listen to you and you can call for help if you need it and all that kind of thing. They changed their agreement terms without telling people. Now they can use this thing even when you don't want them to use it. They can turn it on and GPS you. They can send your data where you are and other things about you based on what they can gather through OnStar to other people. Anonymous information on your vehicle, your speed, your location, your seatbelt usage, and other information. Now, who would be interested in this data? One law enforcement officer says, yeah, law enforcement would be interested in that. If you're not wearing your seatbelt, then they would know that immediately. Who knows what else they can find out with OnStar. If I've ever been in a vehicle and had OnStar, I didn't know it. But maybe we don't know it. I don't know, but... anyway, that's something. All right, what do you think about New York City Police Department? This is contrary to what Brooklyn College's faculty council believes. They passed a resolution that the New York City Police Department should not be infiltrating Muslim student groups to spy on their members on campus. And they found out that the New York City Police were doing this undercover. They were, working Muslim student organizations, that type of thing. What do folks think about that? I mean, of course we got 9/11, we've got the fear of terrorism. We know we're many or most or almost all the terrorists come from, etc. But, you know, should they be sneaking around undercover, misrepresenting themselves? My personal belief is, unless they've got a real cause to do that, probable cause ahead of time, I don't see the need to do that. Now, they're going to come back and say, well, look at all the things we probably prevented that we can't tell you about. Of course, we would never know that. But, you know, 9/11 doesn't justify anything in terms of protecting our security. I mean, we're trying to balance order and liberty, and that's difficult many times to do. But anyway, it's an interesting idea, and we've had undercover drug agents on campus now and in the past and that type of thing. So undercover, you know, America, that's why we have uniformed police officers, so many of them. Most of our cops are uniformed. In many other nations of the world, uniformed cops might be, you know, remaining in those places might be 30% of the police force, and 70% were undercover, were plainclothes, and they were sneaking around and spying on people. Well, let's look at these death penalty cases real quick, and then we'll get to our show tonight, and I'll tell you a little bit about this, what's going on. Texas executed this white supremacist. You've probably heard of this guy, Lawrence Russell Brewer. Remember the case over in East Texas where he tied James Byrd Jr., a black man, to the back of a pickup truck and then pulled him around and drove him whip-like along a bumpy asphalt road in one of the most grisly hate crime murders in recent Texas history. Brewer, 44, was asked if he had any final words at the execution. Texas always does that. And by the way, Texas publishes those. You'd go to the Texas Department of Rehab or Corrections, and you can actually see what the final statements say. A student actually do study 324 final statements of executed offenders in Texas. He said he didn't. He says, no, I have no final statement. He glanced at his parents watching through a nearby window, took several deep breaths, and closed his eyes. They said a single tear hung on the edge of his right eye as he was pronounced dead at 6:21. PM. Texas does it at 6 o'clock. They figured out that's about the best time. They don't tie people for late at night. People don't have to work a lot of overtime, that type of thing. He was covered, they said, with real intricate black and racist tattoos. Byrd's sisters were also among the witnesses in the adjacent room, and they always interview those people. And you know, she said, one of them said, this is a step in the right direction. It took a long time for this thing to actually transpire. Well, here's another one. The guy that killed the cop in Georgia. Yeah, his case was delayed. He had appeal after appeal after appeal, and his case was delayed even last night beyond his scheduled execution time while the United States Supreme Court took a look at it. And his name is Troy Davis. He lifted his head and declared one last time that he did not kill police officer Mark McPhail. Now, everybody else says that he did. But the demonstrators hugged and prayed and held candles outside, that type of thing. He says, I'm innocent. All I can ask is that you look deeper into this case because you really find out the truth. And he's been appealing for a long time. He's been on death row for 22 years, and they finally executed him. But hundreds of thousands of people signed petitions to save his life. The Pope intervened and tried to stop this, and all kinds of celebrities, etc. And they weren't successful. But the United States Supreme Court looked at it last night, or night before last, and he was finally executed. Wait a minute, he was executed. Yeah, night before last. Anyway, as many as 700 demonstrators were outside the execution. His execution had been halted three different times since 2007. That's amazing, isn't it? That's frightening, isn't it? I mean, it's terrible for a guy to have to go through that, but he's the one that brings forth the appeals. Well, anyway, we're going to end with the news there tonight. I had a couple other funny ones, but let's hold those, and we'll pick that up at a later time. But what we're going to do tonight is listen to two segments of an old-time radio show where there are dozens and dozens of segments of this on archive.org, And it was a 15-minute show in the early 1930s. Now, it takes a minute. They play a minute and a half of music. Some people say that's one of the drawbacks to the show. So I'm going to let the music play. But it's called The Misadventures of Cy and Elmer. And what this is about is two old guys, we can call them old coots, they were in the 60s. They're hillbillies. And they rode away and went to and got a correspondence course on how to be a private detective. And I won't tell you much more because it's self-explanatory, but the little things that happened to them in the little town Punkinville, I think you'll find very amusing. It's just a very cute show. So here we go with Cy and Elmer. I hope it works.
The Misadventures of Cy and Elmer. In the lives of the correspondence school detectives, Cy and Elmer. In the sleepy little town of Punkinville, there are two old rural gentlemen, Silas Q. Perkins and Elmer Peabody. These old boys are of a romantic and action-loving disposition and have spent 40 years just whittling in front of the town general store and post office. At last, they decide on a career and have just completed their courses as detectives with the Snoop and Sneak Correspondence School. As we discover the two lovable old fellows, they are sitting in their newly equipped office, eagerly awaiting the arrival by mail of their detective equipment, the Hayseed Sherlocks, Cy and Elmer.
Well, Cy, here we are. All ready to start on our first case of detecting.
Yes, sir, Elmer. Since we got our diplomas from the correspondence school, we're all ready to go.
Yes, we're all ready to go. That is, all but our guns and badges. Say, they ain't come yet.
That's a fact, they ain't. And we got to have our disguises, mustaches, false faces, and such.
Say, reckon ain't no use trying to catch no desperate criminals without a disguise.
Well, the last mail is about due now, Elmer, on number 7.
Mm-hmm.
And if our outfits ain't on that, we'll be out of luck for any case that comes up quick-like.
Well, I tell you, let's quit worrying and sort of shut up the office for the day, eh?
Oh, it's a shame, Elmer, to close up such a pretty office without even discussing one little case in it.
Well, my goodness, Cy, we can open her up quick enough when we get the emblems of our office.
Yeah. How about going down to see the train come in, Elmer?
Say, it's a good idea. But if you don't get a move on, Cy, she'll be in and gone before we get there. Say, about time now, ain't it? Yep, she's coming right now.
Well, then we'll go down and see if our detective stuff come on it.
We'll get your feet down off the desk. So I get out of here then, will you? And, Cy, shut that door tight, will you? We don't want no prowlers stealing our office. Say, I said shut it, not bust it.
When I shut him, they're shut.
We'll quit talking and get to walking. Come on, Cy, come on. She's pulling in right now. My goodness sakes alive, you're getting so darn old, your joints creak when you walk.
Well, you ain't so much ahead of me.
Say, I'm walking backwards. Try to go slow enough, stay with you.
Ain't no hurry, no how. She stopped right smack in front of the depot. And what's that for?
Say, must be somebody getting off of her. Only train stops there regular is the milk train. Say, that's the New York Limited.
Yeah?
She mostly just sort of slows up a little bit to throw the mail sacks off.
Yeah? Them mail sacks don't look extra heavy, neither. The way they're tossing them off of there.
Well, what do you care how big they're?
Well, they don't look big enough to have our packages in them.
Oh, land sakes, Si, what do you think they're sending us? Machine guns?
Let's follow the mail sacks up to post office.
Wait a minute. Let the mail sacks go. Huh? Look where they're walking up to pay for.
Huh. I'm a-looking. City slicker got off the train.
Yeah, stranger in town, too. At least I never seen him before. Get on the right smart get-up, ain't he?
Look out, Emily. He's a-coming over here to talk to us. Keep your hands on your money.
Say, you two, where's the best hotel in this graveyard?
Right smack across the square, right in front of you.
I don't see anything that looks like a hotel.
Read the sign and you'll see it is.
Oh, yeah. Elisha D. Simpkins. Farming implements, gasoline and vegetables. Dry goods, justice of the peace and ice. Coal and feed, furniture and undertaker. Also rooms, 50 cents and up. Well, what's he up for?
You walk upstairs to your room.
Say, there's a couple of pretty big satchels you got there, miss.
Yeah, you better let Elmer and me tote them to the hotel for you.
No, you don't. Keep your fins off them bags. Yeah. I'll take care of myself. Well, so long, boys. Let me know when you get a haircut. I got a mattress to stuff.
Darn his hide. I couldn't think of no answer,
Elmer. Never mind that, Si. Never mind. I got an ID. Si, that fellow has got something in them valises he didn't want us to know about.
By ginger, if we only had our outfits, we could get right to work detecting on this case.
Well, my goodness, how do you know it's a case? What'd your book say, huh?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Well, wait a minute, will you? I'm looking it up right now. Let's see.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah, right here on page 10. It says, regard with suspicion any extraordinary behavior on the part of any stranger.
And here's the case, all right.
Yes, how do you know?
Well, here's the case. His behavior was certainly extra, he acted funny.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you. Now, look, Si, you go on up to the post office and ask Steve, did our outfits come on that mail? I'll shadow this fella to the hotel.
Now, don't get too near him, Elmer. You can hear them darn squeaky shores of yours are coming a mile away.
Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. How am I going to shadow him without no disguise?
Just turn your hat around, backside to front. You think you're going the other way.
Yeah, maybe so. Here you go.
Well, go ahead. What are you waiting for?
Say, now, wait a minute, Si. Come to think of it, you know, he looked like a pretty tough customer.
Yeah?
Yeah, guess I'll, I'll go along to the post office with you, and then we can share him together.
He can't get away, nohow. That's the last train today.
Say, look, here comes Steve now with a big package. Maybe it's ours.
Hello there, boys. Got a package for you here. And as the office ain't open, I thought I'd bring it to you.
Say, much obliged to you, Steve.
Oh, that's all right, boys. So long.
So long, Steve. So long.
Hurry up and get her open, will you, Emmy?
Well, I'm hurrying as fast as I can.
Hurry up.
My goodness.
Tied up tight, wasn't it?
Yeah, but look what's inside, Si.
Yeah?
Pretty snappy outfit, Si. Just look at him.
Yeah, just look at that there star shine.
Say, it must be some of that there new chromium plated stuff, ain't it?
Hey, Emmy, don't point that gun at yourself. It might be loaded.
Why, just looking down at the barrel. Certainly is clean, ain't it? Heh, bet them bullets come out awful fast, Si.
Let's try the darn things on.
Wait a minute, Si, wait a minute. What's this? What's all this harness for here?
Well, there's some directions on the tag there.
Well, that says to adjust the shoulder holster.
Yeah, I know what was all time.
Yeah, here's the directions now. We'll do it. Let's see now. Put right arm through opening marked A. Buckle to strap B and insert end of strap C through loop D.
D?
Yeah, D. Come on, now get off the coat. Come on, put it on.
What do you mean, get off my coat?
Get it off. There, that's better now. Now look, now take your right arm, Si, and put it through. Where is that opening mark there? Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Put it right through there.
Well, don't point it through so hard.
Well, now wait a minute. Let's see, it says buckle to strap B. Where's that?
That's it, right there.
All right. Insert end of strap C through loop D.
Yeah.
Well, here's strap C, but where's the loop D?
You got your thumb sticking in it now, Elmer.
Maybe so.
Well, all right. Elmer, wait a minute. You got something wrong. This crouper don't hang way down here.
Well, hold steady, Dad. Blimey, now fix it.
Yeah.
My goodness sakes, Si Perkins, you're wasting that there big coat of Swayze's. And he is the most conniptious critter ever I've seen.
Yeah, well, he'd have kicked your head off if you'd ever tried to put a harness like this on him.
Is that so? Well, now, after looking at you, I think it looks pretty good.
It may look all right, but how am I going to get my arms out of here if I want to shoot anybody? Why don't you get yours on?
Well, I let mine go for a spell, Si. You look funny enough for both of us.
Yeah.
I can get my gun out of my pocket quicker than anyway than I could out of that contraption.
Which one of these false faces had I ought to wear?
You need none of them. Just shut up and nobody will know you.
We've been gone so long anyway, trying to get over there. He won't remember us nohow.
Look, Si, he's coming out of the hotel now.
Okay.
We watch where he's going. Right behind the tree.
I'm hid all right, Elmer. But this gun sticks out a foot. Elmer, he's a-going straight for the bank.
I'll bet he ain't up to no good.
Yeah, but he ain't.
Never seen a fella yet in all my life with his hair slicked down. It was worth nothing.
Yeah, watch him.
Wait.
He's a-going right into the bank. You better look up in the book for what to do now.
Yes, well, I'm looking, but what chapter does that come under?
Shattering.
Yes, Shattering. Wait a minute. Yeah, here it is. It says, when person being shattered enters the building, surround the building and send one man in to watch him.
Well, if one of us goes in to watch him, how can the one that's left surround the building?
I'll fix it. We get a rope. We tie one end of the rope to the front door knob and tie it to the back door knob. Then if the rope moves aside, shoot.
Yeah, but suppose somebody wants to come and put some money in the bank.
Well, no common citizen who wants to do a little banking business has no right to interfere with detectives. No, sir. Not when they're working in the interests of law and order.
Are we the law and order now, Elmer?
Certainly we are. You go on in and I'll get the rope.
And tie me inside with that desperator?
Well, what's the matter with you? Got your gun, ain't you?
Yeah, but maybe he's got one, too.
Well, suppose we forget about the rope and both of us go right in on him, huh?
Elmer, that ain't what the book says to do.
Oh, consign the book. It's a special case.
Well, all right. Come on, then. We'll go in there and get killed right off.
Get killed right now, look here, sir. There ain't no way for a detective to talk. Land's sakes.
Will we carry our guns in our hands going in?
No, but have it ready so you can get her out quick.
I told you I couldn't get it out quick with all this harness on.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll be ready to protect you. I'll be right behind you.
How far behind?
Say, will you shut up and get in the bank? Now, look, sir, just sort of walk in careless. Like, you know, just like you had money enough to belong in there. Easy now, easy.
Say, that's funny.
Wait.
There's nobody here. Say, did you hear that, Elmer?
Oh, my goodness, there ain't no cotton in my ears.
Yeah, but where did it come from? There ain't no one in here.
Must be somebody inside. Where's the cage here?
He ought to be behind that cage there.
We look and see, look and see.
Well, I'm a-looking. Oh, Elmer. The cashier's been shot.
What?
Shot. And I can't stand the sight of blood. I'm a-going to faint. Oh, yeah.
Si, if you faint and hold that gun harness, sir, you'll joke yourself to death. You had to go and do it, didn't you?
And it looks as if Si and Elmer have gone into the detective business with a bang. Your announcer will tell you when you may hear the next episode of Si and Elmer over this station.
Follows up on the fainting at the scene of this robbery. So here we go with part two of the misadventures of Elmer and Si and Elmer.
The Misadventures of Si and Elmer. Gumshoe experts, Si and Elmer. We last saw these rural correspondence school detectives as they received their detective equipment from the mail order school and were plunged headlong into their first case. A stranger who had just arrived in Punkinville was seen going into the bank, and the venerable Rubes followed him in. But when they got inside the bank, the stranger was gone, and the cashier was lying on the floor in a pool of blood. Cy has fainted dead away, as he always does at the mention of blood, and Elmer is trying to revive him. As we look into the bank and see Cy and Elmer.
Cy, Cy, wake up, dead baby. Cy, Cy. Come on, Cy, wake up, will you? Come on. What good is a detective that faints when he sees a little blood?
What happened to me, Elmer?
You know, same as always happens to you. You fainted like a darn fool of school, Marm.
Where am I, Elmer?
You're sitting on the floor of the bank. And right behind that counter is a dead man.
Dead man?
Yes.
Oh, Elmer, I'm going to faint again.
No, you're not. No, you're not now. You're going to stand up here on your hind legs and help me do a little detecting.
Do a little detecting about what? Elmer, if we want any detecting done, we better call for the sheriff.
Yes, that's so. Well, we don't need no sheriff to help us, Cy Perkins. We're regular detectives now ourselves.
Yeah, we are.
You bet your life. Don't you remember that we got our detective outfits from the correspondence school and got started on the first case today?
Yeah, I kind of do remember that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why did I faint?
I don't know.
Well, we followed that city slicker into the bank. But when we got in here, he was gone.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And the cashier's laying there murdered. Laying there murdered in a pool of blood.
Blood?
Yeah.
Elmer, you ought to know better than to say blood to me.
Now, looky here. Cy, don't you faint again, you old buzzard. We got what to do.
Then let's get started on it so we can quit it quicker.
Yes, let's. But where are we going to start?
Well, look in our instruction book on detecting.
Yeah, wait a minute now. Where is it? Yeah, here it is. The very first thing the book says, right here. Immediately, you reach the scene of the crime.
The scene of the crime?
Yes, sir.
We never seen it.
No, we don't make no difference. The book says a search for clues.
And let's start a searching. Where do you figure is the most likely place for clues to be?
Well, now look. You look behind that cashier's counter there, Cy, and I look in the president's office.
Nothing doing, Elmer. You look behind the counter. I can't get no real detecting done if I got a faint every 5 minutes.
No. All right. All right. Here we go. Wait a minute. You better close that door so nobody won't see us working in here. Cy, what did you slam that door so darn hard for? I bet you scared every darn clue out of the place.
Yeah. How do you know a clue when you see one?
Well, the book says that valuable clues may be found in the pieces of cloth and fingerprints and such like. Say, Cy, wait a minute. Here's a funny thing.
What's that? What's that?
Yes, cashier Fitter is gone.
He has what?
He has gone.
But he was dead.
Yes, yeah, certainly was dead. But dead or no dead, Cy Perkins is gone now. Come here. Come here. You take a look.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, all right. He's gone. I'll look. Yeah. Well, darned if he ain't gone. But how, Elmer?
Yes, but how? Yeah. Wait a minute. I know.
Huh?
While we was talking there by the president's office, side, that dead fellow came too. Came right to and walked out the back door.
And how do you know that there is a back door?
No, for land's sake, there's a back door in every bank. Looky here. How do you suppose the president always manages to be gone when anybody wants to borrow some money?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
And now that dead feller's run away, I reckon he took all the clues with him.
Yes, I Perkins, you're getting softer in the head every day. Softer in the head every day.
How about?
Criminals don't take clues with them.
Huh?
They forget them.
Huh.
Now, what else the book say about clues there?
Well, it says to always make a note of the exact hour and date of the crime.
You know, right, we'll do it. Now, it's just 19 seconds past 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And the date is, what is the date? Ought to be counted around here someplace.
Yeah, it is right there.
Yeah?
Yeah. And just look at the day, Elmer.
Yeah, what is it?
This is a Sunday.
Sunday? It can't be Sunday.
Why can't it be? Yesterday was Saturday.
But what was the cashier doing in here in the bank on Sunday?
Now, let's get outside and think this thing over. If I get any more mixed up, I'll faint again.
Yeah, come on, then. Come on. Now, shut that door carefully, will you, Cy, so nobody won't disturb the evidence.
Yeah.
Tell you what we do. Go next door to the soda fountain in Steve's store. Careful now, careful.
There she is, Emmy. The door's shut good and tight. Yeah, it's pretty hot out in the sun, ain't it?
Yes, plenty hot. Looks like Steve's place open, all right.
Yeah, of course it's open. You know Steve always does his biggest business on a Sunday.
Hello there, boys. Sure hot, ain't it? What do you have?
Well, Steve, I guess I'll take a chocolate soda.
Well, I ain't so sure. My misery has been acting up some today.
Oh, forget your misery, Si. Get a size same as me, Steve.
Say, I never noticed them stars on you boys before.
Ain't never been there before. Just new today. Brand new.
Yeah. What are you doing? Playing detective? Elmer, you're getting pretty old for that sort of thing, ain't you?
Say, now, wait a minute. We're playing nothing. Steve, we're regular detectives.
Oh, well, I guess you won't get much business in this town.
Say, don't you be too darn certain of that, Steve. We're working on a case right now that's...
Say, Elmer,
what?
Don't be telling all our business to these ordinary common storekeeper fellas.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Si. A case in the hand is worth two in the bank. So long, Steve.
Hey, hold on, you fellas. You ain't drunk your sodies. No, nor paid me for them, either.
We ain't got time now. Come on, Si. Come on, hurry up. Will you? Come on. Oh, come on, let's get out of here.
That makes me nervous, Elmer. You rushed me out of there so fast.
Ain't even mind that, Si. Never mind. Look. Look at the door of the bank. Standing wide open. Didn't I tell you to shut that tight?
I did shut it.
Well, it's open now. I can see that, even if I'm a detective.
Mm.
If anybody's in there disturbing our clues, well, we just have to arrest them.
Do you know how to arrest a fella?
Certainly do. Yeah. You just say, sort of stern and terrible-like, you know?
Yeah.
I now arrest you in the name of the law.
Ah.
Just like that. Yeah. Then if they resist arrest, put handcuffs on them.
We got to be mighty careful now, Elmer.
Yeah.
Let's just sneak up to the window and say, who's in there?
Yeah, all right, but remember, you're sneaking.
Yeah.
You don't stick your head up too high. Easy now, easy, sir.
It don't seem to be nobody there.
Yes, yes. Look, here's a shadow moving on the glass wall of the president's office. Maybe we better not go in.
Reckon not. He might have a gun.
Oh, what if he has? We got our pistols, too, ain't we?
Yeah, but maybe he knows how to use his.
Yeah, come on. Come on in and stop your doing worry. Shh. Si, Perkins, don't you shush me now.
Elmer, look careful at that shadow. Ain't that the city slicker we followed in here?
Sweet sassafras, if it ain't. Say, he's got a lot of nerve, ain't he?
But where was he when we was in there?
Well, how should I know? I'm a detective.
Well, if you're so good, go on in and arrest him.
All right, you put your gun on him. I'll have the handcuffs all ready now.
I told you I can't get my gun out of this darn harness gadget.
Oh, wait a minute. Here, here, take mine. I got the handcuffs all ready here now. Now we'll sneak in quiet.
Put up your hands there, mister. I got you covered.
Oh, hello, Rubes. What's all the artillery for? Going duck hunting?
That's enough, you city slicker. We are the law here, and you're under arrest.
Get your life. Show me a star, Si. Show me a star while I figure out these stern handcuffs.
There it is, mister. How do you like that for a star? Kind of gets in your eyes, don't it? Says detective right on it.
Oh, so you're detectives.
Betcha.
Well, now you boys can help me then. Look at my star. How do you like that?
Huh?
Regular New York one.
Huh.
I'm working on this case myself.
Well, what do you know about that?
For goodness sake, Si. A regular big city detective, and we was going to arrest him.
Yeah, we could have done it, too.
Oh, that's okay by me. Anybody can make mistakes. Now, if you fellas want to help me, come here and look at something.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. By Samantha, we'll do it.
What do you got to show us?
Just come and look in this vault.
Look right into that dark vault?
Sure. Come on, right on in here. Now, take a good long look. Take all the time you want to look around, boys. I better be going. I'll miss my train. Well, so long, Rube.
Hey, what's the matter with you? My goodness.
Elmer, where are you?
I'm right here. Better do this, Si.
Well, open the door so we can see.
I can't open it. It's locked.
Are you sure? Right, pushing it.
Say, what do you think I've been doing anyway with this door? I've been pushing on it. Think I've been playing tiddlywinks?
Yeah, darned if it ain't locked good and tight. That scamp locked us in this bank vault and run for the train.
Si, you know something? I got it all figured out. He ain't no detective at all. He's a crook.
Yeah. Elmer. Right. What's this on the floor?
On the floor?
Yeah.
Well, where did I feel? Where are you feeling? Oh, that. It feels like a dead body.
A dead body? I'm a slipping.
Now, looky here. Si, now, Si. Si, this ain't no time for you to think on me, I tell you. Si. Well, sweet sassafras. Darned if he ain't going and went and fainted again.
Now, Si and Elmer are worse off than before. In the next episode, the detectives will try to solve the mystery of the bank vault. Your announcer will tell you when you may hear the next episode of Si and Elmer over this station.
Thank you.
1930s radio show. And if you go to archive.org and type in Cy and Elmer and click on audio and then pick old-time radio shows, this series will come up. I forget, God, exactly how many there are on there, but it's a bunch of them. And I don't know how many years it lasted, but kind of an interesting thing. And this type of 15-minute show was very popular in the early 1930s. I think people worked hard, so they didn't have time to sit around and listen to a lot of radio. But I hope you enjoyed that, and I enjoyed, of course, the hillbilly aspect to it. And that'll be enough for our show tonight, and thank you for joining us. And we'll have Vera Lynn sing her very sweet song, We'll Meet Again, and we'll see you next week, hopefully.
Again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know, tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing song. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when.